Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host. If this is your first Geekscape, strap yourselves in for some pop culture talk. We're talking all about Marvel's The Marvels. It came out in theaters this past weekend. It's a continuation of three distinct Marvel storylines. Are you able to keep track of everything in the Marvel Universe, Geekscapists? This is a continuation of Captain Marvel's story. We last saw her, I think, somewhere in Endgame. This is Miss Marvel's story. We saw her in her Disney Plus show. And this is Monica Rambeau's story. We last saw her in, I think, a few places, but definitely in WandaVision. Now we've got three female Marvel characters all together. They are the Marvels, and this is the Geekscape The Marvels special. So if you've not seen The Marvels, well, I hate to tell you, Ian Kerner and I are going to really, really ruin it for you. So if you have not seen this past weekend's The Marvels, and box office pundits will say nobody did, but listen, a lot of people did. If you haven't seen it, we're going to spoil it. That being said, you may not even know what I think of it. But if you're a Marvel fan, I think it was definitely worth watching. If you've got kids, I definitely think it was worth watching. If you just love female-fronted movies, I think it was worth watching. And if you like having fun, I think it was worth watching. We're going to be talking a lot about it. If you want to maybe listen to something else on Geekscape, go back in the feed. We talked Loki season 2. We've got some interviews. I really like the Matt Lillard one recently. There's a lot of good stuff on the Geekscape feed, but this one right here, you're here because you want to hear us talk about the Marvels, and that is what Ian and I are going to do. So let's get this thing started. Welcome to Geekscape, and let's go. All right, Geekscapists, here we are talking all about Marvels, the Marvels that hit theaters this past weekend. If you're watching this on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitch, maybe you are watching this as the second part of our Geekscape 2-in-1, where we talked about the end of Loki season 2. Hey, I don't make the release schedules. I just talk about this stuff with my good friend Ian in his encyclopedic comic knowledge. I don't make the release schedules, though, but this happened to have the end of Loki season 2 and the Marvels in one weekend. So we talked about them at once and created the Geekscape 2-in-1. That's just the way it worked out. But this episode right here that you're listening to, maybe you're listening to it on the Geekscape feed, we are talking all about the Marvels. It came out this past weekend. It's got Brie Larson. It's got her Captain Marvel character back, and it's got Nick Fury back. It's got a cosmic backdrop, and audiences either turned out for it or didn't, but we are definitely going to spoil it. And with that, let me bring in Ian, who's one of the Geekscapes. Maybe I should start a team with you and Matt Kelly and Derek and call it the Geekscapes. The Scapes?
Scapers.
Scapers? Scapers?
Yeah.
Okay. Something like that. So, Ian, The Marvels came out. Was this a movie that you were necessarily looking forward to? I mean, at this point, we're using movies to thread together three narratives. Two of them started on Disney Plus shows. One of them coming straight out of a blockbuster film that made over $1 billion. And this is relatively the sequel to it. A lot of people attributed this, The Marvels, as a sequel to Captain Marvel. I don't necessarily think of it that way. I think of it as, like, in the comics, this would be...
Well, that's why they changed the name, right?
Right. No, I actually, tell me the story. I'm not familiar with what you're about to say.
Well, it was originally supposed to be Captain Marvel 2, and they changed it to The Marvels, acknowledging more than just Captain Marvel 2.
I don't think this is a sequel.
A good idea,
I mean, this is...
I don't know.
I don't know. Commercially, is it a good idea to change the name of a sequel to a billion-dollar movie? I don't know, but... I don't really think of this as a sequel because we've seen the character story continue. I mean, that one kind of is a prequel to some of the Avengers stuff. It takes place long before about 10, 20 years before the Avengers stuff. And this is a continuation of her modern day story.
Wait. Guardians 3 is Guardians 3, but you need to have seen Infinity War and Endgame before it.
Right.
So listen, they called it what they called it. It easily could have been called Captain Marvel 2. Overall, it's Captain Marvel's movie, Captain Marvel's story, and, you know, that character, we'll get into it, but that character has an arc, right? An event, actually what I think was a very important arc. We get the explanation for why she never came back, you know, after the end of the first one. It's tricky. I do want to say that... We have, you and I have a tradition of not really discussing what we thought of movies before we do these specials. I think the last special we did so long ago was the one on Loki season 2.
all of 20 minutes ago.
You did have a pretty good idea of, you know, my feeling about it, but I haven't said anything to you about what I thought of this.
Of the Marvels? I don't know at all what you think of the Marvels. We were supposed to go together, but scheduling, like, got in the way. And I think you know exactly what I thought of some elements of the Marvels, because I couldn't keep it a secret. And Geekscapist, I want to reiterate right now, this is your last chance, if you're listening to this, to avoid spoilers, because there's major spoilers for the future of the MCU. And I wasn't ready for it. We'll discuss it later, but I wasn't ready for it to the point where I yelled out loud in the fucking theater and grabbed Justin to my right and Heidi to my left and pretty much yelled out, holy shit, when this happened on screen. And if you avoided the Marvels because you're like, I'm not into it anymore, bring on some of the other MCU and this and that. Like, well, you get it in this movie, but you had to go and put your butt in the theater and watch this female-fronted film. Sorry. You should have been interested in these characters anyway, because I think all three of them are pretty interesting characters. And I think all three actresses did a pretty good job of this film. That being said, was it without hurdles? No, there are hurdles all over this movie. What did you think of it, Ian?
I was entertained, but I have some really big issues.
I think you and I agree as well. Yeah, I think we're going to agree on this one.
I have to say, you know, so many people going on about Iman Vellani, who, and she's great, but Tiana Paris, my God, she's fantastic.
Yeah,
I love
the Monica Rambeau actress
in this movie. She's so good. She's so charismatic. I mean, she's the character. I come out of that movie for not just the reasons you were citing. That's the story I care most about coming out of that movie. That's what I want to see next. You know?
Yeah.
Well, because I want her story and obviously the other stuff going on there.
Well, Ian, I think that one of the biggest issue I have with this movie in a big way is a lot of people went on about how this is the shortest Marvel movie. This is a movie that is an hour and a half or 85 minutes.
And that hurt it.
I think it hurt it.
Wasn't an hour and 40? I think it's an hour and 40.
Whatever it is, Ian, it is the shortest MCU movie. It is a movie that I wanted more of, especially on the front end. You can really feel the studio's edits on this movie and the reshoots of this movie.
They get together and I'm like, yes, I'm looking forward to them getting together, but I'm like, really? Like It's like nothing slapped. Happened.
Slapped. For the first 20 minutes of this film, I'm kind of waiting for the character's stories to start. And I'm not talking about plot. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of plot. And if you Geekscape has watched Miss Marvel, you know about the Nega bands and, you know, this stuff. And it does start with a Kree group, like, digging.
They find the other one. Okay.
They find the other one. And that's great. But you're immediately thrown into, I hope you watched Captain Marvel or Miss Marvel, because you're immediately thrown into this body swapping stuff with Captain Marvel and Monica Rambeau, and it doesn't let up for 15, 20 minutes. It includes an action sequence, and at no point do you get a pause long enough to get who these characters are and what they want. And it's really not until the evacuation of a group of Skrulls about 20 minutes into the movie that these characters have a shared purpose, or any of them start to have a little bit of a character motivation. Till then, you're playing a lot of catch up in 20 minutes, and it's fun. It's a really cool action sequence, but without character behind it, I was kind of like, y'all are really starting the movie. You don't even have an opening credit card. That the Marvels, there's no card on that until the end of the movie, but I really feel like the movie needed an opening for the three main characters that were with them, and then the fun stuff can begin. And when the fun stuff begins and you actually catch up, and I do think it's the Skrull evacuation scene, when that stuff starts, I think this movie's a lot of fun. There's a lot to enjoy. It's not without its frustrations on some of the edit, but in the aggressiveness of the edit. But we'll get into that as well. I think the first 20 minutes of this movie, though, don't put it on a very good, it doesn't set it up for success.
And there's a lot of things that I suspect they cut because they want to make it this trim movie, that I'm scratching my head going like, I don't get it. I don't understand what happened here. You know, there's things.
I want to see a fleshed out version of this movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was really bothered. In particular, listen, I know people that, you know, whatever their issues are, it doesn't matter, that people, they hate Ms. Marvel. They hated the Ms. Marvel show. I'm not one of them. I loved the Ms. Marvel show. You can go back and watch that episode that we did before. I thought episode 6 was weak, but the first 5 episodes, my wife and I were like, I would watch a show about this family, take the superpowers out of it and all that. And it was interesting and it was fun and it was well done. And in this movie, I felt like they were like squeezed in. Like, it was like, all right, it's supposed to be comedic relief, but it all feels very, I mean, fish out of water, but not in a good way. It just didn't felt awkward. Even the comedic stuff with Kamala and her reacting to the flirk and all that was really funny in the trailers. And in the movie, I was like, whatever.
It almost, like,
it almost in like a
Thor 4 way undercut some of the severity of what's going on here. And it didn't.
Absolutely. There's
a sequence where Kamala, especially, and I had problems with how they treated Kamala's character, because there are a lot of opportunities for growth on her character, and they sidestepped them. Some of it in the edit that frustrated me. But there's an entire water planet, Geekscapus, where we learn that, and it's fun, that Captain Marvel is actually a princess of this world. They can only speak in song. I feel like the musical number is not shot or cut well or choreographed well, at least as far as the set it goes.
We have to call out. They did a musical number specifically to shoehorn the Bollywood thing of Ms. Marvel and singing and all that. Like, it's just, it's so Bollywood. So because it's a Ms. Marvel movie, they felt they needed to do it and create it. And like, I just didn't buy it. I was like, seriously?
Yeah, for whatever reasons, they wanted to do it. And I think, and I was going to go along with it. I was like, oh, this is a really fun idea. This will be fun. And Captain Marvel, to this point, a lot of the criticism of Captain Marvel is like how stern she is and emotionless she is. And yeah, how dare she be emotionless, or how in stern and powerful. Yeah. I think it was a fun view of her vulnerability, and the fact that she's kind of embarrassed by the fact that she entered this situation where she's married to this prince. And now she's kind of embarrassed. Now they're singing. Now it's really silly. I feel like the scope of that sequence wasn't what it could have been. And I think it really could have gone all out Disney and been really something that we haven't seen in the MCU, but Disney is definitely known for it. It didn't hit that high. And then immediately the bad guys come in because they want to steal the resources of this planet. And they in turn kind of destroy this planet. And Kamala, to keep the villains from getting this second Negaband, jettisons the mission, pulls them out of it.
Quantum bands.
And then the sequence that follows, where the three characters are saying, oh my God, like, we just left that planet to die, is kind of like thrown under the rug with a couple jokes and some hugs. And I'm like, this is a major moment for Kamala to realize the severity of what she just did, to possibly go back and try and rescue. And Ian, ultimately, when the movie ended, I found myself wishing that storyline and what the hell happened to this water planet in this prince, played by the dude from Parasite, who's an amazing actor, super mega famous, this Korean actor, they're just kind of ignored and left in this huge act, never talked to. And the end credit music, the end credit sequence, the should have been another musical number during the credit sequence to show you that this planet, albeit damaged by the actions of the villains, was still alive and that it's okay. I think the end credit music should have been a musical number, and I think we would have left the theater being really happy to see these characters again and have a resolution. Some of these sequences did not feel resolved.
And before that, you know, we get this Skrull planet, and they say it's Tarnax, which is, you know, in the comics, Tarnax 4, it was actually the Skrull throne world. Which was destroyed by Galactus. So here we get this other Skrull homeworld that's getting destroyed.
But I thought in Secret Invasion the Skrull didn't have a place to go.
So exactly. So here's the problem for me. This movie was originally supposed to come out before Secret Invasion.
Okay.
But the way they pivot that is they just make no reference whatsoever.
As much post as was put in the movie, as much reshoots as was put in this movie, you thought that something like that could have been addressed.
Yeah, they make, in Secret Invasion, they were absolutely adamant and at fury, and they never managed to get him a homeworld, nothing. They've just been so terrible, and they're sitting there on Earth and nothing else, and then they have a whole fucking planet. Mm-hmm. Huh? I'm like, did I miss something? And then here's this movie, and after Secret Invasion, you're telling me that Valkyrie's going to come and take a bunch of them and bring them to Asgard on Earth?
Yeah.
Does that make
sense? They're going back to Earth.
The lack of continuity was appalling.
Oh, don't take it that far, Ian. There's plenty of things to be appalled for.
There's no reference whatsoever. There's no reference from what's going on in the world. Literally at the end of Secret Invasion, it's like, we're at war, we're going to kill all aliens, all that. Kamala's parents don't acknowledge it. You know, they crash down into New York. No one, it's fine. It's not really, it's not even acknowledged. Where's the president? None of it. We have like a hell-bent president at the end of Secret Invasion who wants to kill all the aliens. So Nick Fury has to get the hell off the planet, to say nothing of where's his wife.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell is going on?
I wanted to see the Super Skrull come back.
For all the conversation about people feeling like, all these Marvel things and all the shows and you got to do homework. Well, actually, it turns out you really don't, because it doesn't freaking matter.
It was good to see Valkyrie again, though.
But I'm saying, I'm frustrated. Like, you know, you remember I was frustrated with Multiverse of Madness was like, if you didn't see WandaVision, you don't get it. But if you did see WandaVision, there's no point in that movie. Mm-hmm. So again, I come back, I'm like, what the hell are they doing at Marvel?
Right.
With the MCU. Do they have any idea? Does anyone talk to anyone? I mean, literally, I'm like, I know Ope. Everyone talks about, oh my God, it's so many projects. I read more comics in a week than Marvel has going as far as the number of scripts. Okay, that it's so impossible to read the scripts before you shoot the fucking things. I'm just saying.
You are legitimately mad.
I was pissed off. I'm like, how do you make these mistakes? How does this happen?
I'm glad I didn't see the movie
with you. Is it really that difficult? I understand. Listen,
I'm somebody who I'm just saying, like, I'm kind of glad I didn't see the movie with you. I mean, I'm somebody who almost fought a 16-year-old in the theater for filming the movie with their phone, but you're more mad than I ever been.
Well, I'm bothered by, like, what's going on with the fucking development? Like, how can they be that far off when they're supposed to tie in.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I hear
you. Obviously, you have different writers, but you have,
it's supposed to have cohesion.
Feige production.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah. So it's clunky, man. And very, I think
very clunky.
There were sequences that I had so much fun with in this movie, Geekscapist. There's a Flurkin sequence. There's so many things I really like.
Don't get me wrong.
This Flurkin sequence, Ian. The Flurkin sequence with the Cats musical stuff is so much fun. Yes. And it felt like that was a movie that I felt like a sequence like that, the Flurkin sequence, especially because it had so much CGI and previs, it was necessary. It felt like the movie they wanted to make. But then there are sequences around it that felt like the heavy reshoot sequences where I'm like, oh, this looks like Disney Plus or feels like it's a smaller scale sequence or storyline.
I mean,
pushed up against something that felt really grand and deserving of the Marvel big screen treatment. And that was frustrating for me that it felt inconsistent from one sequence to another.
I have a question for you. So we see Nick Fury at the end of Far From Home on a space station with Skrull.
Yes. Yes.
Now here we are with the other thing. And like, and they all look human. But then one of them just happens to reference that he's like a few hundred years old. I'm like, and I'm sitting there like, So are these aliens? Look, I what the fuck?
I don't think the guy was a Skrull. I think that guy was just some thing.
I don't know what he was, but he's...
I don't know what he was.
I don't know.
And what about the, when did the bad this happen? Guy?
Is there some, planetary coalition now that we don't know about?
That Nick Fury is tapped into.
I don't get it.
And so the villain, she's a wonderful actress. I don't know the material, but I got to tell you, there's a sequence in this movie that I thought was really great. And it's a sequence where we actually finally get to see someone else's perspective on Captain Marvel destroying the Supreme Intelligence. And I thought that was an awesome sequence. It was something to know. You don't get it until later in the movie. By that point, you've kind of seen the villain doing villain things without the motivation. And without the motivation, it also doesn't have a compelling propulsion system narratively. And so it suffers from the same issues we had in the first 20 minutes where none of our three protagonists have this inner character propulsion to their story and why they want the things that they want other than being stuck in a high plot situation and having to figure it out and get out. And it's just, there's something underlying that I think a lot of Marvel characters have had up to this point, whether it's Thor's need for humility in the first Thor, whether it's Cap stepping into his new responsibilities, and Captain America. And obviously when Tony sees that missile with the Stark Industries paint job on it, when he's in that cave and realizes, I think that kind of stuff is missing. Some of this, Ian, I'm going to credit to some of the edit. There is a sequence at the end of this movie where, I think this is an awesome classic Marvel sequence, but it's not treated in the same way. It's set up to be a classic Marvel sequence in that Monica Rambeau is forced to restitch together a hole in reality between two universes. In doing so, she will find herself in the other universe unable to get back. And Carol is racing to her to show that she shouldn't do this, like stop, save it. Like you can't do this. You're going to be stuck in a different universe. And I think it's an awesome Marvel hero sacrifice moment that we've seen. It's beautiful. Kamala doesn't witness it at all. Kamala is present in the scene in that she is on the spaceship watching this stuff happen. At no point do we get a close-up shot of Kamala witnessing this stuff, which would have shown to a young teen character who's seeing everything as wide-eyed that actually being a hero involves sacrifice and being a hero involves...
Then we see Kamala crying afterwards, but we should
see Kamala crying at any point during that sequence, Ian, were you kind of yelling at the screen to show a close-up of Kamala witnessing this thing?
I agree.
Because
you're absolutely right.
I couldn't believe it was that specific shot of Kamala was missing from that sequence. And it's such a Marvel sequence. It's such a wonderful sequence. It was such a nice way to end the movie. But for that omission, which is like, that just feels like, again, like we said earlier, a movie being cut to be shorter for artificial reasons that aren't story reasons at all. They're, let's try and get these screenings stacked into a movie theater. And that's the, you know, say what you will about making a bunch of stories not make sense and they're inconsistent with each other and this and that. Sometimes that's the burden of storytelling on a major, like, factory level. The stuff where you're just cutting something down to cut it down, like, this is what happens.
Well, I have another one for you.
Your characters suffer in a big way. Yeah.
Yeah. I have another one for you. And I think I have the answer to it, but I don't really feel like it's truly on screen, which is, so Darben gets the second quantum band and she's going to use the energy. And Carol just says, oh, it'll kill you. So I guess that's reason enough. She goes and she like turns to stone, but Kamala can just use it no problem. And
because she's a mutant.
We kind of know from the Ms. Marvel story that, you know, because she's, you know, from, you know, clandestine, whatever else, you know, and she's destined for it, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? But like, it's not really established. Why should it kill her?
I don't understand how Carol has the information that it would kill you. I don't get it. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now that is something where if there's a sequence with the Supreme Intelligence or the prior Captain Marvel with Annette Bening's character or this and that, like if there's a sequence where you have Mar-Vell or the Supreme Intelligence.
They tell us that these things were used to create, you know, the wormhole network.
Sure.
Yeah. But who used them?
Who used them and what capacity do they have? I think that's where you can absolutely have a flashback to Mar-Vell or a flashback to the Supreme Intelligence telling you. That being said, the whole...
Give
you Quasar. The whole Destroyer storyline, or what was it called? The Eradicator, or whatever the Annihilator. I thought that stuff was wonderful as well. I think that it could have been the opening of the film. Or something to set up
I really liked that they gave us that piece, that what happened after the first Captain Marvel. But I agree with you.
Yeah,
I think that they could have cut that differently and put that at the beginning. And I think that might have worked much better and shown you could have opened with that. Well, that's the thing. If the movie had a more serious
broken character,
open with that and you see Darben and you see what happens with Darben because of it and you go forward. And that's how you cut a movie.
Yeah,
you know, you have the drama and now it's later.
This horrific perspective. It would have worked as a recap in a sense of Captain Marvel 1. Yeah. And we also would have gotten Darben's character motivation from this change in perspective. Mm-hmm. And then in a slide cut or a dissolve, you finally see her on the surface of this planetoid bringing up the other quantum band. And you know exactly what she's going to freaking do with it. She's putting a target on Captain Marvel and this and that. But like, if Darben is then targeting things that Captain Marvel cares about, you're not giving me a whole lot of evidence that she cared that much about the Skrulls that were refugees, that much about the water planet, when this stuff wasn't given much of a second thought once they were off screen, especially that water planet. That is like a glaring cut down to me.
Well, let me say this. You know, I think that had they titled the movie Captain Marvel 2 and then you open it that way, and they felt for some reason in development, they went, no, we're going to call it the Marvels. So then they had to make it lighter and do this. Open it in this different way with each character doing where they are and all that, because that's more interesting to me. That would have been
it
should have been Captain Marvel 2 feature in, and these other two characters are in it. These other two characters, Ms. Marvel had a miniseries and, you know, and Teyonah Parris's character, Monica Rambeau, was in WandaVision, but it was still Captain Marvel 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
it should have started with Carol and then had them enter Carol's story. Look,
as you said,
stronger.
It's the same mistake that they made with Love and Thunder. This is a serious story that doesn't feel that serious.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, and when you change the tone, it's sort of like, I don't, you know, okay. And by the way, they changed the tone. They didn't even go back to it. It's just weird.
Ms. Marvel specifically should not be the same character at the end of this movie that she is at the beginning.
I agree.
You know, Ms. Marvel's mother pulls out, they're now in Louisiana, their home's been destroyed by this first 20 minutes of the movie.
Wait.
Sure, they're in,
you're about to say something.
Monica Rambeau's old home in Louisiana. Yeah, go ahead.
Are they moving in, or is Carol moving there, or did they, I don't understand what the hell's going on in that scene.
I think that I think that we have Ms. Marvel's family moving in because her home's been destroyed with in Cal? Jersey City. They're moving in with somebody, but at one point...
Sorry, John, you're breaking up.
Okay, so Ian, and there's a local recording for this, so hopefully it sticks when you geeks give us hear it on the podcast feed. But there's a pretty funny little comedic number where Captain Marvel or Miss Marvel's kooky mom pulls out a tray that we've seen before that has Captain Marvel and her prince on it. And Captain Marvel's like ready to get rid of it. And the mom's like, oh, this is a great plate. At no point does Captain Marvel go, oh yeah, that's the guy in his race who your daughter like helped eradicate, like helped sacrifice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like, oh yeah. The guy right there, that cute plate that you like has the face of a man that your like daughter extinguished from the universe.
Well, what the and fuck? Then the mother makes a comment to Kamala's brother about like, oh, this is a good house to raise a family. And I'm like, is she trying to set him up with Captain Marvel? Because doesn't he have a wife?
Yeah, the marriage was a pretty big part of Ms. Marvel at one point.
But in this, there's a slight reference when he's doing the recording when they were going up to the Saber Station. It's like implied that he's talking at her, but I don't know. And that's the thing. Why were they there? Yeah. It's clear that it's Carol moving in there and she's just going to watch the place for Monica till she comes back. So I don't get it. I think they're helping her move in, but she doesn't have anything. So I don't even know why she'd need help. And this whole family's just going to go down to Louisiana? I don't get it.
Royal platter. It kind of changes the sense that like Miss Marvel is the protector of Jersey City when she's living out in the outskirts of Baton Rouge.
I honestly don't know if you know, I don't think they were supposed to be moving in with her. I don't get it.
So Ian,
I don't know.
Before we get to the end credit scenes, where does this leave Fury? Because we know Captain Marvel and Miss Marvel are waiting for the return of Monica, but last time we see Fury, he's still in charge of like Deep Space Nine or whatever is going on over there. alien precinct in the sword ship above Earth, which was destroyed, by the way. It was destroyed.
Yeah. But the
remember it was destroyed,
invasion,
they had to evacuate it?
Right. I think, well, no, but it didn't get completely destroyed.
Right. I think they should have
They thought it was gonna, but then it's okay after, I think.
I think some of it should have crash-landed on the Celestial frozen in the ice at the top of the Earth.
Yeah, right?
Like, some of it should have... I think Firefox should have shown up at some point. Skyfox, Starfox.
Fury's like, I don't like the politics, so screw you guys. I'm going home out in space. I don't know. He can come and go whenever he feels like it. I don't know.
I think that more so than any Marvel release, this one had the most, it felt like it had the most editing, just like taken on in the movie and just turning it into something that else. This one felt very studio driven, and it's tough because I'll tell you this: I think this movie had parts that were awesome. I think that I had so much fun with the Flurkin sequence. I had so much fun with some of the characters. I had so much fun with a lot of this movie. And it's a shame that some of the pieces in the movie feel disjointed or inconsistent with the rest of the quality we expect. And narratively, character-wise, because of so much interference going on that you can just feel in this movie. This more than any other felt like a very interfered with film. And it's a shame because I think that it's a fun movie, and I think it's a movie people should see in theaters, especially since it leads to some things we've talked about a lot here on Geekscape. And I'm going to start talking about that first post-credit scene where we see a really fun reenactment of Fury's first introduction from the post-credit scene in Iron
Man.
Was
it a post-credit scene? Wasn't that weird too? Like, it should have been a post-credit scene.
It was right before the credits.
Like before the credits? I was like, that was weird.
But what do we see, Ian? But I thought it was weird that the beginning of the movie didn't have the Marvels on it.
I agree, but I'm saying, speaking of editing, I'm like, this is a post-credit scene that they just put before the credits.
It's but like, what do we see? We see Kate Bishop coming home.
See Kate Bishop
being
finally.
Hawkeye. Yeah,
yeah, finally, because it's like
you were excited though, right?
I loved that, and I laughed immediately. I knew exactly what was happening, you know. But I was like,
Kamala's sitting in the shadows doing her best Nick Fury recruitment. Yep. And you know we're getting the Champions or Young Avengers, and it was so much fun to see those two be the beginnings of it. I thought that was a fun scene, man. Yeah, I thought
it
was.
I loved
that.
It. I loved was super it. I got excited. Excited. But again, part of the problem is these things have taken so long to come out, and I know COVID and everything else. It's been 2 years since we saw Kate Bishop.
Yeah, these are going to be the middle-aged Avengers, not the young
Seriously.
Avengers. These are going to be, yeah, these are going to be the middle. These are going to be the 32-year-old Avengers.
I mean,
we're gonna have Kate. Yeah,
I'm sure they'll go to champions, but still, you know, like it's what the hell.
Yeah, the not so young Avengers. We're gonna have the two kids from one of Maximoff's two kids are gonna have like full beards by the time they show up on this series. You know what I mean? Who else is in the Young Avengers that are the champions?
You'll have Isaiah Bradley's grandson Eli.
Yeah, that we saw him.
Stature from Ant-Man 3.
But we saw Winter Soldier in Falcon and Winter Soldier. We saw Isaiah in that one.
Yes.
Okay. You got Stature.
From Ant-Man 3.
Scott Lang's daughter. Okay.
Right.
We got those four in the MCU. I think there's
We had Amadeus Cho's mother in Age of Ultron. And Amadeus Cho becomes Brawn.
But Ian, what about like Scar? Didn't we see Scar and She-Hulk?
We got Scar and She-Hulk, but we don't know if it counts.
Okay. Who else did we get? Who else do we have in this? Is there any chance that like the backup download of Vision in Wakanda comes back as some form of a Vision?
I mean, we also have the White Vision.
We just straight up forgot about the backup of Wakanda of the Vision, didn't we? I know
maybe
you and I did.
Maybe yes, maybe no. No, maybe yes, maybe no. They may, because, you know, so look, the White Vision came out of what was left of the body, right? So he's out there.
And that's there.
So
that's out there.
Yeah. So, and I mean, you know, maybe that leads to, you know, the White Vision becoming more like the original Vision. We're not sure. You already mentioned Speed and Wiccan sort of.
Speed and Wiccan kind
of. They could do a version of Hulkling. You know, and I don't think they're ready to do Miles. You know, there's a world where the smart way to launch it, if they want people to actually see that, put Peter in that.
Put Tom Holland in a Champions, but that price point starts getting a little crazy. The Champions immediately doesn't, I mean, that's a movie. That's not a series. And I feel like the Champions or Young Avengers might actually feel like a series based on the fact that the two members currently are from a Disney Plus series.
No, as I'm saying, you want to launch that. And honestly, Tom Holland's Spider-Man is Miles' age.
Mm-hmm.
So, because in the comics, it's Miles. But that's what you do. It doesn't matter that he's been in Avengers stuff. You put him in Champions because he's more the right age for it. You know, that's how you launch that movie. But, you know, again, should it be a movie? Do people care? What's the story? Why? You know? It works. The idea being that there's no Avengers right now and you do that, and I think that was probably the plan. Is it really going to happen? I don't know. You know?
JK420 over there on Twitch says, was there any reference to Blade? No. I'm sorry, JK. There was no reference to Blade in this movie, but let's talk about that second post-credit scene, the one that made me yell holy shit in the theater and grab Justin and Heidi like a mom bracing her kid at a stop sign.
You were that excited for Binary?
When I saw the Binary, well, here's what I got excited about is you had the sacrifice of Monica Rambeau putting herself in an alternate universe. She seals herself off from what.
So let's talk real quick about what
when
you
she wakes up
that was going to be.
Well, when she wakes up,
before
and
she
I
wakes
see,
up. Stop.
You're chopping up on my end. Go ahead, because I didn't think anything before she woke up. I thought the movie was freaking
So there's a lot of possibilities. Okay? First of all, I was thinking it could be the negative zone. So you have to remember something. You have this.
And I do
want to
talk about the binary suit, because that's why I got really excited about the binary suit.
So, but let's talk about the Captain Marvel history first. You have these quantum bands. But you earlier in this, you referenced them as the Negaband. And there's a reason you did that.
Because Marvel had Negabands. But the bands are just floating in space.
I know, but I want to talk about that. Well, no, because Kamala.
Oh, no, Kamala put him on. Kamala put him back on. Yes. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yes. But here's the thing. In the comics, you had the Negabands. The Negabands were around, and the Quantum Bands are two separate things, even though they're similar. The Negabands are the bands that Mar-Vell had in the comics. And in them, he would hit them together because he and Rick Jones were cosmically entwined. And one of them would be in the negative zone and one would be in the regular universe. And in fact, the very latest Captain Marvel comic with Carol, they've just repeated that whole thing. They just came out a couple weeks ago. So they did it with Genisvel and Rick also. They've done that before. So,
but Geeks Gamers, that has a similarity to the beginning of this film with the entanglement.
Exactly.
So the first 20 minutes of this movie.
And the switching place. Yeah.
Okay. So that makes sense in this universe. Continue. So what are the quantum bands?
The quantum bands are the bands that Quasar has that are more cosmically powered. And Quasar becomes the protector of the universe that actually Mar-Vell was before. And there's a whole cosmic entity, Eon, that, you know, is basically gives him missions with this cosmic awareness, and he goes around doing things.
Up until this point, I thought they were the same fucking thing, and I'm 44 years old. And I've read these comics, and I felt like the Negabands and Quantum Bands were just Marvel writers not being consistent.
No, not the same.
They're actually different, like, bands.
They're different bands. But
they look the same.
They're related, but the point is that for me, because it's a Captain Marvel movie, I'm thinking is maybe she's in the negative zone, and that gets really exciting for me because of Fantastic Four, because negative zone is very strongly tied to Fantastic Four. There's also the Cancerverse. So the Cancerverse came out of a cosmic storyline where there was a crack in reality, which seems very similar to what we see here.
Yeah,
and there's a whole alternate reality where everyone's bad because basically it's similar but different to the zombie verse. But it's basically everyone's been possessed and gone bad. You have evil Avengers there.
But that's like the Annihilation. So, didn't that happen in Annihilation?
It's after Annihilation. After Annihilation. So and in that, Richard Rider sacrificed himself, closing the rift and being stuck on the other end.
That's what I remember.
I'm not pulling this out of nowhere. This is an Easter egg. This is a connection to it. You know,
Richard Rider, so what character is he?
Nova.
Nova could be in the Champions.
Well, yes. Well, not that Nova is in the Champions. Yeah, exactly. Champions. So absolutely he could be.
It's getting a little messy, but Geekscapist, this is why Ian thought it could be the Cancerverse. Yes.
And Richard Rider Nova, when he was originally created, is young. He's also a teenager. He was sort of like they were going for a very, you know, like flashback to, you know, when Spider-Man started feel. But he was around a long time.
Sitting there.
Sure. But so Richard Rider's Nova was around a long time. So when they created Champions, they created a different younger Nova, Sam Alexander, who was a champion. So yes, they could definitely bring in Richard Rider as a teenager or pretty young and have him be in Champions also. So he's definitely a possibility.
So when Monica Rambeau wakes up, and guys, I want to reiterate the spoilers on this episode. If you don't want to know this stuff, stop listening. But like when Monica Rambeau wakes up, she sees her mother, who is dead in the 616, but she's wearing
and that played really well because we got that flashback, including the flashback to Carol and her having a conversation of, you know, it should have been you. It's like, oh, I never wanted it. But it works we've seen Multiverse of Madness and we've seen a universe where she was, although Wanda Maximoff kills her.
But now she's alive again.
But we've seen that.
In a Captain Marvel-like outfit, but it's a red and white binary outfit, which looked awesome. And that got me super excited. But the whole binary and Captain Marvel character in the 80s, when the binary story was going on, was a member of what book, Ian?
So here's the thing. So Carol Danvers' history, that they actually do pull from a bit in both Captain Marvel and in this movie, this idea of amnesia. So and I'm actually going to go a little bit of deep dive into, and we can get into some potential Kang stuff here. Carol Danvers was Ms. Marvel because, you know, she had gotten crossed with the Psycho Magnetron and Marvel, who was the hero Captain Marvel. Okay. Sure. In Captain Marvel, they did a version of that with Marvel, played by Annette Bening. They did a gender swap there. And this time they made it more about the Tesseract, which is something else I want to talk about. Okay. So basically, Captain Marvel is empowered basically by one of the Infinity Gems.
Okay.
So she's super powerful in terms of being, having, Infinity Gem infused power, right?
Specifically the Tesseract.
What's that?
Yeah, specifically the Tesseract or a different gem? Okay.
Wasn't it the Tesseract?
Wouldn't that be the space one?
Yeah, but isn't that the one that they have and then it gets, then later they had it later?
Yeah, well, the Red Skull, it sucks the Red Skull up into the sky.
And then Captain Marvel, they got it. And that's how it led into, in Captain Marvel, we find out how Fury had it.
Okay. Continue.
Right?
Sure.
So basically, she's Ms. Marvel. She's an Avenger. She gets, in Avengers 200, basically, she apparently gives birth to this guy, Marcus, who is Immortus' son.
Gross, Geekscapist, by the way. This is George Perez's last issue. Before he crossed the street to do Teen Titans.
Yeah.
It's one of his last issues.
Yes.
Sorry, continue. But,
So basically, it turns out that Marcus, who was born in Limbo and is stuck there, pulled Carol there and seduced her, and they supposedly fell in love, and he used his science to impregnate her with himself so that he can now live in the real world. But then he grows up immediately and they're in love and they're going to go back to Limbo and she's going to go with them. And she's so happy. And Wanda's so happy for her and everyone's so happy for her. And it's great. She's married off. And no one says boo. And next thing
Marvel retcon that shit.
Well, I don't know if it's a retcon or if it was planned.
But Marvel definitely didn't talk about that weird shit again.
Yes, they do. In Avengers Annual 10, Avengers Annual 10 opens up with a body getting dumped into San Francisco Bay, and you see Jessica Drew, Spider-Woman, rescues her. And Chris Claremont wrote it, and he had intended to have done subsequent issues of Ms. Marvel, which was a book he was writing. The last couple of issues of Ms. Marvel didn't get published. They're published way later.
Yeah.
But in essence, so Mystique from Uncanny X-Men, Raven Darkholm, was a foe of Carol's, was actually introduced in Carol's book. And basically Mystique sent Rogue to attack Carol. But you actually only get the aftermath of that in Avengers Annual 10, where Rogue basically attacks Carol. And apparently because of Carol's weird physiology, she fights so hard. Instead of it being a temporary swap of powers, it becomes permanent and it gives Carol amnesia, absorbs her and throws her into the bay, basically straight up, seemingly just going to kill her. But Spider-Woman saves her. And Rogue then goes and attacks the Avengers. And there's a whole fight, whenever they beat her, whatever else. But at the end, they go to save Carol. Carol has amnesia, so she gets taken to the X-Men, to Charles Xavier, because he's going to help her get her mind back. And as he's helping her, basically she gets some memories back, and the Avengers come to see her. And she's like, it really doesn't even want to see them. And you're like, what's going on? And she's like, oh, we left you, and we thought you were so happy with that. She's like, happy? He basically raped me. He used his signs to make me love him. I didn't love him. I didn't even know him. And you are supposed to be my friends. You're all like, oh, okay, great. Bye. See ya. And it's such this like if it had been a man, it probably wouldn't have happened that way. But, oh, it's a woman, so she must want to just find love and get married and go off. It's totally not like her character at all.
And that was her addressing Avengers 200 and being like, that was really fucked up.
Straight up saying like, how the hell did you just... let me just go like that. Anyway, Carol at this point seemingly doesn't have powers, but she goes, so now she becomes a main character in the X-Men books. Initially, she doesn't have powers. They've established that she goes back with Wolverine from her spy days because she was in the CIA. She gets taken with the X-Men by the Brood to Brood World, and the Brood are doing all kinds of experiments on her, and basically she has this genetic potential that they unlock, and she becomes Binary. Okay, and so Binary is seemingly a different form than her Ms. Marvel powers, but she basically it's like she has the power of stars together. And so in this movie, when you see Carol actually go in to reignite the Hall of Sun, and she's fully on fire, it's very reminiscent of Binary all powered up.
Yeah, it was a cool sequence.
So that that mid credit scene is a nod to Carol Danvers' time as Binary with the X-Men.
But it's not Monica. But it's, and Monica it, wakes but up and it's her mom.
It's Maria Rambeau.
And she's Binary. And she's wearing the Binary suit. And it's fucking great.
Yes.
And who's she talking to, Ian?
That would be Hank McCoy.
She's talking to fucking Beast. And when I saw Beast on screen, I screamed. I was like, holy shit. Because we've been hinting at the X-Men for a while in the MCU, just small bits here and there. But now we have a founding
but it's a different universe, though.
I get it, baby. It's the Foxverse.
So this is, well, it is and it isn't. So this is my hope. So I've been saying for many specials now that the right way to do it is it's smash it together. Maybe the X-Men version we get is that universe, and it all only comes together after Secret War. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Secret War again, Geekscapist, and I said this, I think, in the Loki episode on Loki season 2. The Secret Wars is Doom basically taking all the different realities and pushing them together into
like because that's a the question. Reality for him. Do you do this with X-Men here and now do a completely separate X-Men in the 616 at the same time? How messy is that?
Ian, I think, I mean, what's crazy is that of all characters, to clarify some of this, it's going to be Deadpool, I think. But if we get Hugh Jackman, Wolverine in the MCU because of Deadpool, does he come from the one from the multiverse that this Hank McCoy is in at the end of the Marvels?
We very well may get that, and Binary, and I'm sorry, well, are we calling it Photon?
Binary.
Monica Rambeau might be in Deadpool 3.
Right.
It might be the way she gets back.
Geekscapist, Hank straight up.
She might get back in Deadpool 3, maybe.
You see the X-Men doorway. She's in the basement of the X-Mansion. And that's where Monica Rambeau is at the end of the Marvels. And it was fucking awesome. And you had Kelsey Grammer voiced Beast. Little CGI, but like you got the. But dude, you got Beast in the MCU now. And I loved it and I freaked out and I prayed that Ian, who's in multiple chats with people talking Hollywood and superheroes, I was praying you didn't have it spoiled for you. Did you have the same reaction I did? I literally yelled out, holy shit, and grabbed the two people.
I was so excited, and I didn't have that. I didn't have a spoiler. I knew there was someone in the mid-credit scenes and it'd be exciting, and I knew it would relate to either FF or X-Men.
Really? You thought it was going to be one of the Fox properties?
Yes, because the thing I had that was slightly spoiled was just that it was something we've been waiting for.
I freaked out, buddy. I straight up flipped out. If people had known, would it have saved the box office in some respects for the Marvels? Well, in the same way that the Phantom...
People know now, right? So I don't know.
Remember when the Phantom Menace trailer came out? It like helped some box office for some movies because you went to see the movie to watch the Phantom Menace trailer beforehand because the internet wasn't the internet the way it is today.
Look, you know, Eternals, they started releasing commercials with Harry Styles in it. Who knows? Mm-hmm. You know?
So, Ian, we have the introduction of the X-Men right here. The direct X-Men, not like the hints with the little stinger.
Maybe. We also had them in Multiverse of Madness, so maybe.
Yeah, you're right. We had Professor X in Multiverse of Madness. We have Hank McCoy here.
So, I don't know. Is that the X-Men movie we're getting? Or are we getting a straight-up 616? I don't know. I don't know.
But I think you're right. In that Secret Wars is a collapsing of these universes together, and
or can be, that.
Yeah, can be. I don't think that we have X-Men in the MCU that we've known. I don't think we have the X-Men. I think that this is a multiverse thing, and that the Fantastic Four, like, remember, Doctor Strange straight up talks about the Fantastic Four being lost in Multiverse of Madness. Like Doctor Strange knows about the Fantastic Four. They are part of history, but they're not present in that time.
It's not that line is debatable. If that's what he meant, or was he just making it? The line is more about, you know, that line sounds like he could be making a joke about just, you know, it sounds like a funny, you know, thing to say, or he could be referencing that they exist. You know, it's not
in past history.
Yeah.
And had gone missing.
Yeah.
Well, Geekscapist, I got to tell you, I walked out of the theater like, That was cool. And it just added, again, it added to the fun that I thought this Marvel's movie was. And as much like as this movie had some, you know, it just felt
I was entertained, even though there was so many things wrong with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm hopeful, man. Like all this, after all this talk for months about superhero fatigue and the Marvel brand and this and that, I thought that the two releases that we got over the weekend, the Loki season 2's finale and this movie, really made me excited to keep watching these films and like sharing them with the Geekscapists and talking about them with you, Ian. Like, I was stoked. And like you said in our chat, you're anxious to talk about these movies with me. And dude, I was so stoked to talk about this stuff with you. The knowledge that you give here on the show is so good. And Geekscapists, if you appreciate it, let Ian know and leave a review on the podcast or hang out in the Geekscape Forever group on Facebook, where it's been pretty active recently. And maybe tell your friends about Geekscape and be like, oh my God, this guy, Ian Kerner, he knows the ins and outs of these characters. And next time you go to the water cooler Geekscapist and want to like share your Marvel knowledge, you're just reiterating Ian. That's what I do. And Ian's a good resource. He helps all of us get a little bit smarter and appreciate these stories way better. And that's what we like doing here on Geekscape. Ian, I think next up we have a pretty fun movie. It's called Aquaman 2. And it's going to be badass. Is that not our next comic book release?
I think so. I think so.
Our next comic book release on a big screen or small screen. It's not Kraven. It's sadly not Kraven, which would have come out last month. But I am craving that Kraven. I can't wait for it. It's going to be fun. And I know that I have your wife on a panel for LA Comic Con, Ian. Yeah. That's going to be fun. We have three panels. At least I have three panels at Comic Con. I don't know about the main stage stuff yet. I don't know about that stuff yet. But we got LA Comic Con coming up in like 2 freaking weeks, man. I'm not ready for it. Jeez. But all that
stuff. That means our birthdays are coming up in like 2 freaking weeks. Our
birthdays are a day apart. And Geekscapists, there's just so much, including like we have a December 8th charity live stream here on the Geekscape Network. There's just so freaking much going on with Geekscape right now, but I will try and break it down like Ian did the stories today. We'll try and break it down and parse it out. So you're in the right place for it. If you're on our YouTube, Facebook, or Twitch watching it live, that's a great place to be. Or if you want to hear this stuff broken down on your schedule on the Geekscape podcast feed, you're in the right place. Share it with your friends. Tell them about it. But dude, that deep dive on Carol Danvers and her relation with the X-Men and all that stuff is really valuable information. And plus, like the difference between the Nega Bands and the Quantum Bands. Like, I honestly, up until this point, thought they were the same thing, just treated by different writers differently. And they are two different kind of like cool disco wristbands in the Marvel Universe, not to be confused with the ones Luke Cage wears when he has that silver tiara. There's lots of cool silvery bands and gold bands that dudes wear in the Marvel Universe, and they're important. And now Kamala Khan has them in the MCU. So cool, man. Thanks for doing this with me, man.
Sure.
And Geekscapists, we'll catch you on the next one. Thanks so much. Peace, everybody. Peace.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.